Remember tonight, pray God's anointing and blessing on her, that God will keep her and make her effective in all that she does. Would you do that right now? Let's lift her up. Let's praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, just stand with her. Let her walk in your anointing, oh God. Let her walk up and down in your blessing, oh God. Let her hands be filled with healing, oh God. Anoint her as she works in that orphanage, God. Strengthen and bless everything that she does. Do it in the name above every name. Do it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. 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 We magnify your name, oh God. Won't you just reach over, lay your hand on somebody by you, let the Holy Ghost flow. Just let it flow out of one vessel into another. Let everybody's anointing just flow freely in the house. Hallelujah. 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 You can just get yourself lost in that if you want. Just wander off and walk up and down in it. Let the Holy Ghost flow through your vessel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? Isn't he worthy? Isn't he worthy? Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, just use us. God, just flow in us. Let it be a river of living water. Let it be a well springing up into everlasting life. God, let life-giving waters flow up in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Ah, we magnify you, Jesus. Glory, glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus, mighty Jesus, worthy Jesus. Praise God. So many wonderful things are going on, and it is a great day to be a part of the kingdom of God. A delight, a privilege, a wonderful thing that God is doing in this house and among this people. God is good and God is worthy. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. We're going to continue tonight in our study of 1 John. We're going to read in 1 John 3 verses 1 and 2 and continue to press in. And we're making our way through these little epistles of John and on through the New Testament. And God is so good to us to let us handle his word and have a nice, safe environment to worship him in. And it is not that way all over the world. We are so very blessed tonight to have great liberty here to worship him. There are some places where Christians are being the victims of genocide, and it's going on. It has gone on for as long as people have been on the earth. There have been hostile places and dangerous places. This is one of the most wonderful places where you could have come into the kingdom of God. And I believe God wants you to flourish in that. He set you in a fruitful hill. He's put you in a fruitful place. And so God has an expectation about what you're going to produce in your life. John's writing to us, 1 John 3, beginning in verse 1. Sister Sutton sends you her greetings. She's doing grandbaby duty tonight. And she loves the duty. So, boy, we got babies all over the place here, huh? And so brand new babies, and Michelle and Robert have had theirs. And is that right? I can't keep up with all the babies. And so that's a wonderful thing. We got babies that have not come to church yet. I mean, they've been here 9 months. But after they appeared, they quit coming to church. We got to check on them. No, but they remember, because when they get in here and all this is going on and it's so loud and it's so active and busy, they just go to sleep. They're right at home. But we are so blessed to have revival in the nursery, and we're excited about that. 1 John chapter 3, behold, look at this, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And you could stop right there and just spend a long time. Isn't it amazing that God has condescended to men of low estate? David said, when I consider your handiwork, the worlds that your hands have made, and when I look at your creation, he said, I think this thought, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. And it's so humbling to have God allow you into his presence. And isn't this plan so wonderful that he's created everything that we need, and he's made it from the foundation of the earth? Every preparation, the lamb was slain from the foundation of the earth, not in real time, but in God's time. And so preparation was made, and grace said, they can come into my presence because I've covered them. Like he gave you images of it in the tabernacle, the sweet smelling incense that filled the whole house, which allowed sinful man to come under the fragrance of God's sacrifice, come into the presence of God. And that's what we're doing here tonight. We're not here because we're good. We're here because he's good. We don't worship because we're good. We worship because he is good. We don't walk in our own righteousness. We walk in his righteousness. Ah, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Look at what God has done. And somebody probably could say, if I got what I really deserved, I was so glad Jesus was sitting at the bench when I came to the court. I'm so glad that God was my advocate and that God was my judge. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. It's not enough that he just saved us or let us come in or that he just spared us. And David said, I'd be happy to be a doorkeeper. And the prodigal figured it out. And the prodigal said, I'll come back, but just make me a servant. But God said, no. That's the story of humanity, that story of the prodigal son. And God said in the story, no, you're a son. You can't be anything other than that. You're going to be my son. God's ready to restore you tonight. God's ready to put you in a place of authority and a place of provision and a place of sonship tonight. That we should be called the sons of God. It's amazing. Make you lie awake at night with your eyes wide open. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You're not part of your world anymore. The world doesn't recognize, they don't understand you. They think you're about three quarters of a bubble off. And we are in regard to the world, but we're thinking straight in regard to the kingdom of God. Beloved, now, everybody say now, are we the sons of God? Say now, are we the sons of God? And that's a deal. Because we are an incomplete work. The work of God is complete in you in spirit, but it's incomplete in the progression that we are walking in. Because the kingdom of God is an event, instant, bam, fills you with the Holy Ghost, redeems your soul, and then there is this inexorable growth process that continues until he comes. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know how this is going to turn out. We don't know what we're going to be at the end, but it's going to be great. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When he comes, then is brought to pass what Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 15. Then corruptible shall put on incorruptible. Mortality shall put on immortality. And we shall be changed. Some of us will sleep. Some of us will be alive when he comes. But we shall all be changed. But everyone say, now are we the sons of God. Praise God. God bless you. As you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, mighty God, and we praise you, and we lift you, and we magnify you, oh God. Thank you for the privilege to handle your word in this house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. So we are the sons of God, and how that happens is that it happens by a certain criteria. There is an entry-level experience. Everyone in the world is not under that classification. Not everyone is a child of God. Not everyone is saved. Although God died for the whole world, and everyone could be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God bled and died for the whole world. He bought, it is fulfilled in him, the business of the treasure hid in the field. He found a treasure. The treasure was his church, and he bought the whole field. Well, a few parables before, the field is identified as the world. God bought the whole world so he could have the treasure which was in the world, which is his church. Everyone say amen. Romans 8 and 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you see there, inherent in this, is the fact that before you can become a child of God, sons of God, a term that is generic, it encompasses both men and women. We are children of God. And ladies, if you have trouble with that, understand the guys are in the bride of Christ. And so we have to deal with that. But these are generic terms that express some particular quality of the relationship between God and his people. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you have to have the Spirit of God to be led of the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of a bondage again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. God not only has caused you to be born into the kingdom, but he's also adopted you into the kingdom, and you are legally and experientially, spiritually his children, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And so what he bought at Calvary and what he achieved in the resurrection, he shares that with us. And he makes us a part of that, a part of his household and a part of his inheritance as we are his children. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, the creation, waiteth for the manifestations of the Son of God. And in these two scriptures, we seem to have a little bit of a contradiction, because John says at once, we are, now are we the sons of God. And here Paul tells us that all of creation is groaning, and it's waiting for the expectation, with great expectation, it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And so we're going to talk about that, how that works tonight, how we are now the sons of God, and we shall be the sons of God. We are the sons of God, and we will be manifest in greater measure, in a complete measure, in a later time. Now, To the business of being a part of the kingdom of God or being a child of God, there is an entry-level experience, and there is a criteria that must be achieved. There is a threshold that must be achieved. You have to repent of your sins. The world church has lost its way, and they don't even talk about the world or repentance anymore, but you've got to repent of your sins. And that's not weeping and sorrow. That's turning around. That's an about face from what you've been that's not like God. To come into the kingdom of God, you've got to quit being you and start being who he sees you as. You've got to quit walking by your agenda and begin to walk by his agenda. You've got to leave the house of the familiar and learn the ways of God's house. These are not easy things. Not everybody will do it. Not everybody is able to do it. But everybody that's going to be a part of the house of God and the kingdom of God, they're going to repent of their sins. He said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You've got sin on your life, and you've got to do something about it. You must be washed in the blood. You've got to be washed by the waters of baptism. Ananias told Paul, he said, what are you waiting for? Arise, be baptized, washing away your sins. That's an amazing statement. But he says that the waters of baptism literally washes away your sins. This should not be a surprise. It's all through the Old Testament. The old world, the new world comes up out of the waters. And in the days of Israel, the new nation passes through the waters. And in the day of Noah, the new world washes, comes up out of the water. And they are saved by the water, Peter will say in 1 Peter 3 and 21. They are saved. saved by water. I would have thought they would have been saved by the ark, but he says, no, it's a water salvation. And he says, a like figure whereinto baptism even does now also save us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I was raised another way. Nobody told me that baptism saved you. They said it was an ordinance for joining the church. But friend of mine, you don't join God's church. You got to be born into God's church. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You've got to be born of the water, which is baptism, and of the Spirit, which is the infilling of the Spirit of the living God. And that is your first day in the kingdom of God. There's a criteria, and you have to be born into the kingdom. And then after you do that, and in the world, church, they sell this so cheap. They sell it without any value or without any biblical understanding, and they want to reach the lowest common denominator. And the question that is unspoken is very evident in their approach. It's simply, how little can I do to achieve salvation? And somebody has chosen to tell them, all you've got to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Well, sweetheart, that was in a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. Paul wrote that to people who had already been baptized, that had already received the Holy Ghost. And if you would look at the inclusive language in that epistle and in all the epistles, you would understand that the epistles are written to people who have already had that experience in John 3:5. They've already been baptized, and the language in the epistles is looking back that they have been baptized, as many of us as have been baptized. And then the discussion of the Holy Ghost is very, very obvious there, talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the infilling of the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit and the sealing of the Spirit of God on your life. All of those things are part of the conversation of the epistles, and they are there because these are people who have already received those things. These are letters to the church, and if you're reading them and you're not born again yet, you're reading somebody else's mail. You need to go back to the book of Acts and see how the church started, how people were born. Jews got the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, and they said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Samaritan came in Acts chapter 8, and Philip baptized them all in the name of Jesus, and the apostles came and laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 10, Gentiles, Italians, received the Holy Ghost. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And in Acts chapter 19, Paul found people that had a religious experience. They were already baptized. And he rebaptizes them in the name of Jesus Christ. And he lays his hands on them, and they receive the Holy Ghost, and they speak in other tongues. I was raised in a church that didn't believe in any of that. And they didn't spend any time in the book of Acts at all. They just wanted to talk about salvation by confession and by faith alone. And you do need faith, and you do need confession, and you do need to invite Jesus into your heart, and you do need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But if the church started that way, the church is still that way. And if you really want to be the church of the Word of God, you've got to have an Acts 2:38 experience in your life. But then logically and biblically, this continues. 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. How are they the temple of the living God? Because God lived in the tabernacle. God lived in Solomon's temple. God lived in the temple of Zerubbabel. And now God lives in the temple of your life. He said, you are the temple. In chapter 6 of this same book, or in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, what, know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you are not of your own? You've been bought with a price. So you're the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, I will be their God, they shall be my people. And here are some of the criteria. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. There is a criteria. There is an expectation about you if you're going to be the sons and daughters of God. And you can come in, and you can become a son, but you have to understand that parable of the prodigal was written for our advice. You have to understand you can leave the father's house and go live with the pigs. And he said concerning that son, this is my son that was dead. When you're in the kingdom of God, you are alive. When you're in the pig pen, you are dead. If the trumpet sounds or if you choke on a corn cob and die in the mud, you are lost. He said, this is my son that was lost. I was raised Southern Baptist, but they understand words like lost and dead. You understand me? He said, and then I'll be a father to you, and you can be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. He's writing a letter to the church. So the entry-level experience is born again of the water and of the Spirit. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And then as you grow, you just naturally learn more about God. And as a child in a home, things are expected of you at 4 and 5 and 8 and 10 and 12 and 15 that were not expected of you when you were 6 months old or 1 year of age. You understand that makes consummate sense to you. And so it is in the Word of God. It's never just believe in your heart. There's always something else. And God's looking at your victory and he's happy for you. And he says, okay, now let's go up a little higher. God's always going to be calling you higher. God's always going to be calling you higher. And if you love God, you're wanting to go higher. God's always going to be asking for more. And if you love God, you're going to be wanting more. That's how this relationship works. When you're satisfied and you say, I got enough of God, you don't have any God anymore, because God is so big you can't have him all. There's always more of God. So then coming out of our world and not touching the unclean thing and not defiling the temple that God has made us becomes part of the description, the biblical description of being sons and daughters. And here's how he frames this in Hebrews 12 and beginning in verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening, the spankings of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You know, little ones, they just think it's, you just get out the wooden spoon and they're like, oh no. That's all God has to do is get out the wooden spoon and you see it coming. And you're like, no, God, I want to grow, but I don't want you to hurt me. God, I want to be great, but I don't want you to correct me. God, I want to be wise, but I don't want you to rebuke me. Well, you're a fool. You're going to stay infantile. You'll be wearing diapers till the trumpet sounds. He said, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children? My son, despise not thou the chastening, the spanking of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. If you can't be rebuked, you can't be saved. For whom the Lord loveth, if God loves you, you know what? He's not fooling with them down at the barroom tonight. He's not up in the crack house working on them tonight. Judgment begins at the house of God. Those that he loves, he chastens. He wants you to be better. If you're using the biblical metaphor of the fruit tree, if he wants more fruit, he prunes you. If you are fruitful, he prunes you. If you're not bearing anything, he'll let you just get all wild and shaggy. He's not worried about you because you're not bringing any. But boy, you start bearing fruit, he'll start trimming your branches. And scourges every son whom he receives. Everybody that comes to God is going to be disciplined of God and become a disciple of God. This is just so consummately common sense. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Well, it's fallen out of favor to chasten sons, but I can tell you there's a whole lot of sons in the cultural tapestry of America that need some chastening in their life. That's all they need. They need the hand of a father, and they need some chastening in their life. They need somebody to jerk them up by the collar and say, you are precious, you are wonderful, and I'm going to beat that silliness out of it. Foolishness is bound up in their heart. He said, beat them with the rod, they shall not die. He said, the blueness of the wound purifieth the soul. My God, DHR is going to come shut the church down. If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. You're going to live in God's house, God's going to spank you when you're out of line. God will correct you. God will lead you. Then, if you are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. You may be a living person, but he doesn't claim you as his son. You have to yield yourself to God. This is downstream from the new birth experience. You are born his son, but here is clear information that equips you to understand that at the point of recognition and exercise of will and moral agency, if you resist God, if you continue to resist God, you won't be a son anymore. You'll be a bastard in the house of God. Now, some of you are going to have to explain some terminology when you get home. Hebrews 12 and 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so holiness then becomes a part of this continuing saga, this continuing journey into the kingdom of God, into maturity in the kingdom of God. And holiness is a broad, broad subject. And we could talk about that for hours on end, from one end of the scripture to another. It has to do with separation. It has to do with being exclusively the property of God. It has to do with being built or made or fashioned according to the specifications of the Word of God, and that is a huge area. But there are many, many valuable scriptures in regard to that. But it just simply says you start with your awakening moments, your believing in God. You start with that time when you're ready to turn around and repent. You enter in with the baptism of water and the baptism of the Spirit, and then you begin to grow and grow in all of those things that God speaks to you and requires of you by His Word. And all he requires of you is a continuing affirmative response. Turn to your neighbor and say, now are we the sons of God? Now, in our text, it says, now are we the sons of God? And in the following scripture that we read there, it talks about how the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So now are we the sons of God, but the creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And how do we satisfy that? It is a subject of a lot of study, but if you're familiar with the Word of God, then you will recognize this immediately, and you understand it very, very clearly. An example of it is when Peter is preaching to the street on the day that the Holy Ghost was poured out, there on the day of Pentecost, right after the crucifixion, 50 days after that Passover when Jesus was nailed to the cross. And he's preaching to a street full of synagogue-raised Jews who are serious and have come from all nations to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage, or to come and visit for this observance of Pentecost. And they are there in the street, and he preaches to them out of the Word of God that they've heard all their lives from the synagogue, and they are all a very prepared audience. And some of them say, these men are drunk. They've just received the Holy Ghost. And when you first receive the Holy Ghost, and maybe thereafter, like tonight, if somebody had walked in during the worship service, they might not have recognized this as a church. They might have said, these people are drinking something. These people are a little bit high on something. And we are. We have been drinking something, and we are a little bit high on something. But it all has to do with the kingdom of God. We're drinking the new wine, and it makes us just all pretty excited and happy, and the joy of the Lord is moving in our lives. And they saw that, and they said, these men are drunk. Peter said, they're not. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. But he says, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And he talks about dreams and visions. But then he quotes all of that passage, and we see eschatologically, or in terms of prophecy, that we are dealing with Joel, and Joel takes you down to what is called the great and terrible day of the Lord. Sackcloth sun and moon like blood and all of that, the great and terrible day of the Lord. But we know that hasn't happened yet. We know that that's somewhere down the timeline. But Peter stood in the middle of the flowing of time and touched on that prophecy and said, this is what is happening right here. And what he said is, it's starting right here. it is right now. Right now, this is Joel. God's beginning to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. It began on the day of Pentecost, and it's continued. Do you know there are 700 million people in the earth right now with the Holy Ghost that speak in tongues? It's one of the most amazing things that's happening on the face of the earth. You ought to give God some praise for that. But after they got it at Pentecost, they got it in Samaria, and they got it again at the house of Cornelius. And these are only the reports that we have. I'm going to tell you, knowing how revival works, there were people getting the Holy Ghost all over Jerusalem that we don't have a written record of. There were people in little hamlets and in little cities and little places. It didn't happen exclusively to the biblical text. It was broader than the biblical text. If you know how the Spirit of God moves, and it flows out and fills the Gentiles, and it flows out to the people at Ephesus, and before it's over, there are churches, spirit-filled people at Corinth and at Ephesus and at Rome and in Caesar's household, in the household of the emperor of Rome, and it made its way all around the earth. Do you know it is fulfilled in prophecy? Because Malachi said there's going to come a day when from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, it's going to circumvent the earth. People are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're going to lift up a sacrifice, a sweet smelling sacrifice unto God all over the world. He said the Gentiles are going to do this. Well, you are the fulfillment of that tonight. And it started this morning in Asia, and it's made its way with the sun all the way across Europe, and it's happening in North America. And when we close down, somebody out in the Pacific is going to be having church, and they're going to be worshiping God. And do you know, even in 2017, the Holy Ghost is still being poured out. It started with Peter there in Acts chapter 2, but it's still going on in 2017, and the great and terrible day of the Lord hasn't come yet. It is now, and it is not yet. It has begun, but it's moving its way to its consummation. And that is a trend that will always be present with prophecy. We are, everybody say, now are we the sons of God? But then say, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Which simply means he's not done with us yet. It's still moving in us. It's still going on. I had a starting point. I had an event instant. It started, but it doesn't appear what we're going to be. But we know that when he shall come on the great and terrible day of the Lord, at the second coming, when the Lord comes back, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to be made perfected at that moment. You will not find perfection in this journey. You'll only find it at the conclusion of the journey. We are, but not yet. It is, but not yet. We could say we are, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? It does not yet appear. Everything, listen, everything you're trying to be right now, every principle of the scripture you're trying to apply right now, every lesson you learned and all those that you are seeking to achieve and seeking to learn and seeking to actualize in your life, you will be everything the word of God and God's kingdom has called of you to be. You'll be all those things when that trumpet sounds. Mortal puts on immortality. Corruptible shall put on incorruption. But right now we're growing out of those old things and out of those old ways, and we're growing into the form of Christ. We're continuing in our journey. It is now, but it is not yet. Somebody needs to tell the devil tonight, it is now. Now I am a son of God. Because he'll come to you just like he came to Jesus and said, if you are the son of God. Because he wants to undermine your identity. And if he can undermine your identity, that's your core. And without your core, everything else. If the core won't hold, everything else gets all blurry and out of focus. And you don't know who you are. And so you act 10 million different ways. But when you know where you are, who you are, it defines who you are. What you do, what you say, where you go, how you treat people, how you interact with God. You got to know John has a point in this. You got to know that you're a child of God. You got to go to the Word of God and say, it's not because my mama told me, and it's not because my daddy told me, or some preacher shook my hand, but I read it in the Word of God, and I went down in the water just like they did, and I got the Holy Ghost just like they did. So 1 Corinthians 15, and this is, the whole chapter is about the resurrection of the dead. So Paul explains this beginning in verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. That's where you are right now. You're earthy. You're still wearing that earthy body. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now he's talking about Adam and about Jesus Christ specifically here. Adam was of the earth, earthy, and Jesus Christ was God Almighty, the Lord from heaven. Everybody say amen. But in relation to you, your first man is earthy, Adam. Your second man is like, ladies, it's a generic term, your second person, your second manifestation, your second birth, your second man is like the Lord. And so you are becoming like Jesus as you live this earthly journey in the kingdom of God. As is the earthy, such are those that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are those also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. God's going to make you, he's going to give you a body like his glorious body, it says in Philippians 3. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You never will get there completely as you are in this Adamic nature. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we are. Now are we. But then we're going to be like him. Twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Corruptible must put on incorruption. Mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible puts on incorruption, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We, by the Holy Ghost, have received the down payment on our eternity in God. Ephesians 1 in verse 12, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment, the earnest money of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Do you like having the Holy Ghost? Yes. Do you like what God's doing in you right now? Yes. Have you grown so accustomed to it that it's not new and fresh and alive to you anymore? Or do you wake up every day and say, God, I thank you for letting me be a part of your kingdom. I thank you for letting me walk in your Holy Ghost. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in my life. Anybody, have any of you ever said, this is the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me? Have any of you said, it's the best thing that ever happened to me? Are any of you just loving what God has done in your life? Touch your neighbor and tell them, this is really good, but this is maybe only 10%. This is just the down payment. This is just the earnest money. God gave us a little taste right here. But when we break, you know, we worship and we like to worship. But buddy, look at this. When we get that glorified body, my God, mine's wearing out. I've been dancing for years. I've been praising God for years. My knees are getting gimpy. I'm running out of steam. I can't do what I used to do in the way of worship. But I'm telling you, that's now. But, and it is now. And now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear. My God, we're going to get a brand new body. I'm going to run and touch every star in the Milky Way. I'm going to slide off. It's going to be crazy. If you think we're going to be sitting there like this, got the wrong heaven in mind. I can hear Sister Bonnie singing over there. Oh, I think there's a place for that voice over there. Step aside, angel. The redeemed. Angels can't sing this song. This is the song of the redeemed. They can't sing this song. They were never lost. They never got washed in the blood. Step aside, angel. We're about to stand around the throne of God and tell the story and sing the song. And the reason we sing the songs and pray the prayers and open the book here is because we're going to be doing that for eternity. We're going to be singing his song for the ages. It is now, but it is not yet. Hebrews 2, 8 and 9. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Brother Travis, every bit of us under his feet right now. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Everything is under him. Your trouble, your problem, your decaying body, your impending death, the disease that's working in you, the trouble that's moving in your life or in your family or in your home. He put all things in subjection to the name of Jesus and the power of the blood. Everybody say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But now we see not yet all things put under him. He's put it all under him. It is now, but it's not yet. He's already paid the price. He's already won the victory. But the system is still moving because there are those that are yet unborn that need to come into the kingdom of God. And so the system keeps moving. And those of us that are on the inside already, we just say, yes, Lord, do it again, God. Don't come today, oh God. Win another one. Fill another one. Redeem another one. Save another one. We're going to have eternity with God. But if we last another week, another month, another year, another 10 years, however long it is to the coming of the Lord, how many more will there be around the throne singing the songs of God's great redemption? But we now see not all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Everybody say, but we see Jesus. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by grace of God should taste death for every man. It is now, but it's not yet. And when it gets a little hard to bear, we see Jesus. And when it's a little hard to carry, we see Jesus. And we remember, yeah, it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it. Oh, the kingdom is, we are the sons of God now, but not yet. It's inaugurated, but it's not consummated. It's begun, but it's not finished. The kingdom of God is an experience right now. Everybody say, now are we the sons of God? I mean, just saying that, doesn't it make you want to sit up straight and act like you know what's going on a little bit? Just kind of walk like you are somebody. You need to quit slouching around and acting like nothing matters, because it matters because of who you are. It may not have mattered in your old daddy's house, but it matters in God's house. It matters. You need to sit up and be straight and walk right. And you don't need to carry the load of self-condemnation, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You don't need to open your mouth and say, I'm not fit, because he chose you. You don't need to say, I'm not able, because the word of God says that he is able. And the word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You need to say that tonight. Gideon is hiding, and Gideon is chosen, and Gideon is weak, and Gideon is fearful. But when God shows up, he said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. God sees you as he will make you before the end of it all. God sees you in the pristine, invisible image of where he is taking you. He deals with you that way. That's what grace is. God's grace covers you in the distance between where you are and the reality of your existential journey to the place where God is going to consummate this and finish the work in your life. Grace covers you right now, and God sees you as his son. God sees you as his daughter. You quit singing the song of hell. You quit helping the devil and talking negatively about yourself. You sit up, and when you have a doubt, you say, I am a child of God. I have the promise of God. I've got the Holy Ghost down on the inside. If you don't believe it, you can't walk it. Luke 17:20, And when he was commanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. We're looking for the kingdom, but we're walking in the kingdom. We're seeking for the kingdom, but we're the residents and the beneficiaries of all of the goodness in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is today. You're in the kingdom of God right now. And you can't change the timeline. It's God's plan. It's God's prophetic spectrum. It's already set in place, solidified there by the word of God, and will not change. And so just hunker down and get ready for the ride and wake up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God does good work. I love what God's doing. What's on the agenda today, God? The kingdom of God is within you. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not natural things. It's not ceremonial things he's referring to there. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is real and powerful now. Right now. Today, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, you might say, well, I don't have righteousness. Well, all that takes is a trip to an altar, an old-fashioned prayer meeting, a time of repentance. Get the blood reactivated in your life, and you will be made righteous by the sacrifice of Calvary. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You say, well, I don't have peace. Well, I want you to know he is the Prince of Peace, and he can come in, and the Word of God describes it like this. If you'll give it all to him and thank him and not focus on things that are eating you alive, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep you. Peace is now. Peace is now. God will give you peace today. And joy. Well, you might say, well, I don't have joy right now. Joy is going to be in the heavenlies, or joy is going to be after the rapture. I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is now. You are a child of God right now. And if you come back to the Father's house, the Father kills the fatted calf. Bad news for the fatted calf. The Father kills the fatted calf, strikes up the music, and they begin to have a party. That's what we were doing around here during the worship tonight. We were having a party because we've come back to the Father's house, and it ought to be a place with music and dancing and praising. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is real now, and you need to find out how to navigate that now and possess that now. At the level where you're standing right now, these things are ubiquitous in all of your experience in the kingdom of God. When you first get the Holy Ghost, you ought to have righteousness, peace, and joy. When you've been around 6 months, you ought to have righteousness, peace, and joy. If you've lived it for 5 years, you ought to be righteous, you ought to have peace, and you ought to have joy. You are an advertisement. You are a walking proclamation of what the millennial is going to be like. You are God's advertisement, just like the nation of Israel was supposed to be an advertisement for the church, but they never got it together. I'm imploring you, get yourself together and proclaim to a world in darkness that the kingdom of God is coming, and that it is in fact here. And that they can have joy right now. And that they can have peace. You need to reflect that on your job. They need to look at you and talk to you and know the kingdom of God is real in the earth right now. But you've got to walk in this. You've got to lay hold of this. You've got to possess this. That's what happened to Israel. God laid it out all for them, and they never possessed the land. You've got to possess this land. You've got to walk up and down in this land. Praise God. Anybody wake up in the morning and you got peace in your life? I just want to know. I want to hear the testimony of God's people. Is this the word of God, or am I reading from something else? Anybody have joy in your life? You're just indescribably happy with what God is doing? The biblical discussion is it depends on what you're focused on. You can focus on all the negative and you won't be full of joy. But I
I tell you, I made a decision a long time ago. If I'm looking at you and you're a basket case, I'm going to find something good that God is doing, and I'm going to hang my hat right there. I'm going to find something good. I want to wake up in the morning with the psalmist and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will, by choice, by human agency, I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a choice to live in peace and righteousness and joy. Deal with it. You are a son of God. Now is the kingdom of God. It's not finished yet. It's not consummated. But these things are real in God's kingdom right now. You're supposed to be indicating what's coming in eternity. You're supposed to be a little piece of heaven on the earth. You're supposed to be a demonstration of what living for God under the yoke of Jesus Christ is all about. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. If you are burdened down and you are a miserable individual filled with the Holy Ghost, that is not the will of God, and you are not utilizing what God has given you, and the devil is using God's kid for a kicking post. He's brutalizing you every day. You need to shake yourself today. You need to shake yourself, and you need to take advantage of what God has made available. Now are we the sons of God. So we're inside the kingdom. We're praying inside the kingdom. We're praying, thy kingdom come. Isaiah 9 and 7 declares to me that there is no end to the increase of his government and his peace. This thing grows. It grows in you. It grows in your family. It grows in this corporate body of the church. And when it grows, all the good stuff grows with it. God is intent on growing his kingdom in you. Somebody say, it's growing in me. There's a starting place. There's an event instant. And we pray. We pray, God, grow this thing. Fill people with the Holy Ghost. Fill people with your spirit. Wash the sins away, God. Bring them into your kingdom. He put a parable unto them. I use this a lot when I pray. Samuel, come and play. And we'll start heading toward the door here. But the kingdom of God is growing all the time. And it is in the individual. And it is in the earth. He put a parable to them. We're in Matthew chapter 13, and we're in verse 24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And so the kingdom is, if I'm a part of the kingdom, I'm a child of God, and it's like somebody that sows seed, then I sow seed. That's what we do in the kingdom. We sow the seed of the kingdom of God. The seed is the word of God. And so we sow it everywhere we go. We are indicative of the kingdom of God. We are responsive to the kingdom of God. We are the servants of the kingdom of God. And so we sow. We know that where we sow, things are going to come up. We know that things are going to grow. Now are we the sons of God? If you're a son of God, you're sowing. You're always sowing in the Father's field. You're always sowing the seed that God has given you to put in the world around you so that the kingdom can come and can grow. Praise God. In Matthew 13 and 31, another parable he put forth unto them and said, the kingdom of heaven, everybody say the kingdom of heaven, is like to a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. Don't wait for big things. Don't wait to be able to do big things. Don't wait to be able to sow big things. Don't diminish the power that is in your hand as a child of God. Sow a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. He said, but when that thing takes off, it'll surprise you. It'll become the greatest of all the herbs. The kingdom is like a mustard seed. Somebody here, you don't think you have anything. You don't think you're of any value. You don't think that what you do makes a difference. But I want you to just grasp your hand like that, and I want you to look at that hand, and I want you to say, what is in my hand belongs to God.
And I want you to say, whatever I sow for God. You are a son. Now are we the sons of God. You've got the power to sow the kingdom seed in the earth right now. Don't despise the day of small things. But whatever you are able to do, do that. Don't look around and compare yourself with somebody else. Do the tiny thing you can do. It'll take root. It'll germinate. It'll bring forth. Praise God. Tiny things grow. Another parable, 13 and 33. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven. It's yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Don't worry about where the kingdom is not. Don't focus on what is not. Focus on what is. Because if you'll become that leaven and you'll begin to leaven the loaf right where you are, you'll begin to spread right where you are. The kingdom of God has a built-in growth factor, and it's going to grow. I've seen people that are burdened about somebody far away, geographically or relationally, burdened for a lost loved one, burdened over something that took place that they can't fix. But I'm just going to tell you right now, there's somebody in your life tomorrow that you can touch for the kingdom of God. Now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Be the son of God at your school tomorrow. Be the son of God at your workplace tomorrow. Sow some tiny thing. Sow a handful. Be leaven, and it will become contagious. It will grow. Last Sunday morning, I made a mistake of talking about leaven and how it makes the big fat yeast rolls, and it was about lunchtime, and I lost about half the crowd right there. So I'm not going to talk about big, fluffy, hot, buttery yeast rolls now. I'm not going to mention it. If I did, you would get distracted and think, I'm going to have something like that tonight after church. I've lost 5 pounds recently, and I really need to take care of my physiology. I need carbs. Let's stand together. Touch your neighbor and say, now are we the sons of God. It's unfolding, but it's already begun. Some are living in the treasure. Other people are just finding it. Verse 44, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found it, he hideth for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. It's God's agenda to grow the treasure, to fill the field with treasure. It's the will of God for this kingdom to grow in you. Verse 45, the kingdom of heaven's like a merchant seeking goodly pearls. God, let somebody else find the pearl of great price tonight. Let somebody this week, let's baptize somebody on a Tuesday. Let's baptize somebody Thursday morning. Let's have a family of 5 get the Holy Ghost on Friday afternoon. Let's see the kingdom grow in our city. Praise God. It's now. We love the story of heaven. We love the stories about the millennial. But the only reality you have is right now. The only thing you have any power in is right now. Some people lose their now because they're so devastated by the past or hung up on the nostalgia of what was. Some people lose their now because they're looking forward. They're singing songs about that heavenly place, and that's wonderful. And they're always looking about what will be. But I'm just going to tell you something. When you start a church in a storefront, you have to shout right now. You can't wait till it gets like you want it to be. This thing about God, if I'm in the middle of a storm, God is everything that I need. I watched Brother Travis dancing tonight. A lot of people here don't know his story. But I'm watching a man that's standing in the middle of a storm under the burden of a bad report, but he's worshiping and he's praising God because I can't affect what was, how it happened, and I can't affect what will be, how it will work out, but I can't affect my right now. I can't do anything about the army that's massing to battle with me later on, but with Jehoshaphat, we can break out the choir and we can begin to sing and praise and magna. Now am I a child of God. The devil may say this is going to happen. Well, I can't do anything about that future event. But I can tell you right now, devil, I can do something right now that'll take your head off. I can do something right now that'll change the day to come, the week to come, the events that are unfolding. Somebody clap your hands and say, right now. Right now, I'm a child of God. Right now, I've got joy. Right now, I can have peace. Right now, I can have righteousness. Right now, the kingdom of God can grow in me. Right now, God can be everything he's promised. Right now. Verse 47, the kingdom of heaven is as a net cast into the sea. That's what we're doing in this house tonight. We're casting a now net. We're casting a net right now. We just cast a net. We don't worry about, it's not my responsibility to be here for them. It's not my responsibility to respond for them. It's my responsibility to create the atmosphere and to cast the net. If you're a visitor here tonight, you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you've never had the Holy Ghost evidenced by speaking in tongues, God will revolutionize your life tonight. God will wash your sins away. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. You'll know you get it because you'll begin to speak in a heavenly language. God can do that for you right now. Somebody say now. Now. Now we are redeemed. Our bodies are not redeemed. The scripture says we're waiting for the redemption of our bodies. But I'm not waiting to be happy about God for the redemption of my body. I'm not waiting. Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. And then in the last days, he's going to stand upon the earth. He said, and even though the skin worms devour my body, in this flesh, I'm going to see God. That's already taken care of. But the now is where the power is. And so he understood the future. But when his whole world fell in on him, he reached up out of the rubble and he said, I came into this world naked. I'm going out naked. God gives and God takes away. He said, but right now, my garments are torn because my heart is torn. But right now, blessed be the name of the Lord. It thundered in heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It thundered in hell when he said that. Right now, you are a child of God. Praise God. The whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's that future event. But I tell you what'd be really neat, if the sons of God, wherever they are on their growth curve, wherever they are in their maturation process, if they would just be everything God's called them to be right now. If all you have is a mustard seed, plant it right now. If you've got a bag of grain, if you are able, if you're grown, you have a little understanding, then do what you are capable of doing right now. But don't wait another moment. Be the child of God. Be the son of God. Right now. When you wake up in the morning, you need to say, now am I a child of God? Praise God. I want every hand lifted, every voice lifted. This altar is open. Somebody can come if they want. If you already know you need to come, come on. If you'd like to have the Holy Ghost come, if you'd like to come and just put your finger in the devil's eye and say, I got problems, but now I am a child of God. If you'd like to come and just say, God has been faithful to me. Now I am a child of God. If you need to come and shake something off because your peace has not been as vibrant as it needs, or your joy is not where it needs to be, then go ahead. Come to this altar tonight. God will show you his glory and his power right now. He's everything he's ever been. He is God Almighty. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the healer. He's the provider. He's peace in the midst of a storm. Hallelujah. Lay your hand on somebody by you. Let that go ahead with your prayer, but let that Holy Ghost flow from vessel to vessel. You're a child of God. You're not just somebody that wandered in off the street with empty pockets and an empty life. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You're full of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. 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 Look around, church. Maybe somebody there by you that needs the Holy Ghost. Maybe somebody that needs your prayer tonight. It's not about you. It's about the anointing that is in we, inside of you. Hallelujah.
Show me your power.
I want you to turn to somebody by you, and I want you to lay your hands on them and pray for them. But before you do, I want you to tell them, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I've got something to pray for you with. I've got the kingdom of God inside of me. I'm about to pray for you, and something's going to happen. I'm about to pray for you, and God's going to touch you. I'm about to pray for you, and God's going to move in your life. Now we've got a powerful prayer. Now we've got the name of Jesus. Now we've got the Holy Ghost. Now we've got the promise of the Word of God. Now we've got the anointing. Now we have the power of God in prayer.
Yes, yes, yes.